Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would speak to us now through Your Word and in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Cause our hearts and minds to receive Your Word and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. It's found on page 24 if you have a Bible from the back. Genesis chapter 21. Hear now the word of our God from Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as the Lord had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning is a joyous morning as we come to this text. We have recently been through some very difficult and challenging passages. We have seen the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of Lot's wife looking back. We saw the sin of Lot and his daughters, the sin of Abraham and Sarah lying to Abimelech, and all the promises of God put in jeopardy. That's what we've gone through in the last few weeks. And in those hard passages, we have seen, of course, through it all, the great power of our God's love and grace. We have seen Christ very clearly at work in those passages. But let us not kid ourselves. Those texts are not easy going. They're hard. They are not easy to swim through. But now we come to a most delightful passage. A passage that is pure gospel joy. In many sermons, there's a sin salvation service motif to them, a pattern. Or maybe we see in some sermons a sin salvation pattern, or maybe a salvation service pattern, but here it's all gospel. These seven verses come to us at the end of a section of serious sin, and in these seven verses, the Lord unloads on us the joy of the gospel. Looking now at our text at verse 1, we see a most comforting verse. And the Lord visited Sarah, and notice this, as He had said. And the Lord did for Sarah, notice that again, as He had spoken. The Lord did what He promised to do. It certainly wouldn't be the timing that we would have wanted. It wasn't the timing that Abraham and Sarah wanted it to happen. Remember, they tried to make the promise happen on their own terms with Hagar. It wasn't the timing that they wanted. But the Lord fulfilled His promise. It was 25 years 25 years since the original promise was given, back in chapter 12. 25 years. That's a long time. That wouldn't be our timing, would it? But the Lord always has perfect timing, and the Lord always makes good on His promises. And what a blessed thing this is for Abraham and Sarah, because if you think about it, 25 years earlier, okay, that's great, you're getting up there, but remember, Abraham lived to 175, so 75 wasn't quite that old as we would think maybe today. But think about this now, he's 100 and has a child. Whom can he boast in? Not in himself. Whom can Sarah boast in? Not in herself. The Lord let him wait for 25 years so that they would have greater cause to boast only in the Lord, to see His goodness and the power of His grace with even more grandeur. And as we look at these first two verses of our text as well, we see this great emphasis upon what the Lord has said, which reminds us that the word of the Lord is reliable and trustworthy. But then we read in our text in verses 3 through 7, the response to the Lord keeping His promise. What is the only proper response? What is given to us by the Lord in His promise keeping? Joy. Joy. And the only proper response that we could have is joyful praise. Abraham worships the Lord by keeping covenant with the Lord, by circumcising Isaac on the eighth day. Sarah explicitly says in verse 6, God has made me laugh. This is a time of overwhelming joy. The child of promise has been born. And we need to see this morning. Remember what had happened up to this point. Abraham and Sarah had faith all along the way, but it hasn't been a perfect faith, has it? They didn't trust the Lord when they went to Egypt. They didn't trust the Lord and tried to make the promises happen themselves with Hagar. They didn't trust the Lord perfectly when He was right in front of them, giving them the promise. Both of them laughed. Not out of faith, but out of doubt. And they didn't trust the Lord when they came before wicked King Abimelech either, and tried to make themselves safe their way. It is recorded for us on separate occasions that when the Lord gave His promises to Abraham and Sarah, they laughed, but it wasn't a laugh of faith. It wasn't a laugh of joy in the Lord. It was a laugh of unbelief. Not completely outright vicious unbelief, but a laugh of, that can't really happen, can it? That's not possible. It's too unbelievable. And yet, despite all this, despite all this unbelief, all this sin, the Lord still fulfills His promises and gives cause for great joy. And in this text, there is so much laughter. Not of doubt, but the laugh of joyful faith. The laugh of joy in the fulfillment of the promises of God. Isaac's name means laughter. And as Sarah said, says, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. This is a passage that reminds us that the promises of God really do come true, as unbelievable as we might think that they are, and certainly as the world thinks that they are. But they come true and bring with them fullness of joy that cannot be contained or expressed in any other way but with laughter. That the Lord would do that for me. The birth of Isaac, though as great of a story as it is, as wonderful as it is to see the Lord keeping his promises and bringing such joy to Abraham and Sarah, this story points to something much bigger than itself. Remember, this is the child of promise through which all the promises of Abraham would eventually be fulfilled. It's through the line of Isaac. They are, of course, fulfilled ultimately in Abraham and Isaac's far-off descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this story of Isaac's birth is a foreshadowing of Christ's birth. As we read in Luke's account, when Jesus is born, and again, we of course know that Isaac's birth was miraculous, and so was our Lord Jesus Christ's birth. And as much laughter and joy as there is at Isaac's birth, so there is at Christ's birth. And listen to all these moments of rejoicing as Luke records them for us. First in Luke chapter 1, verse 44, "For indeed as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." John the Baptist, still in the womb of Elizabeth, leaps for joy at the sound of the mother of Jesus' voice. And Mary begins the Magnificat with these words in Luke 1, verses 47 and 48, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And then in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, after Jesus is born, we read, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then in verse 20, after the shepherds came to see Jesus, we read, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." And then Simeon in the temple rejoices, as we read in Luke 2, 29 through 31, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And then also Anna the prophetess in verse 38, "And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." What's going on here? When we look at Isaac and his birth, we see Abraham and Sarah filled with joy and laughter. And for all those that hear of this story, again, as Sarah says, they will laugh with me as they think about this. Think about an elderly woman giving birth. Laugh with me. But here now we have our Lord Jesus. And as Luke records for us, everyone from the angels in heaven to the babies in the womb, from the shepherds in the field to the wise men from the east, all those people in between are joyful. Joyful with the birth of the Savior. Isn't that amazing? Why is that? Because this one who is born is the hope of everyone. There are a number of things that we learn from this passage in Genesis. One, we should never laugh in unbelief. The promises of God, because not only do we know with certainty that they will come true, but we know that they have already come true. Christ has already been born and has already accomplished our salvation. Second, we should always think of Christ, and when we do, we should be filled with the laughter of faith, true and lasting joy. You think about Isaac, since his name means laughter. Every time Abraham and Sarah would call his name, they would have that reminder set before them of the joy that they always can have in the Lord. Well, every time we take upon our lips the name of Jesus, every time we think of Him, let our hearts be filled with that joyful joy. Because He has come. And all the promises of God, every single one of them, is fulfilled by Christ. As we think about all that the Lord has given to us, as we think about these glorious promises, as we think about the gospel, we have to ask ourselves some questions. Where is our joy? Where is our joy? There certainly must be joy in the gospel when we think about what has happened to us because of Jesus. Where is our joy? Do we have a problem being sourpusses? Do we have an easier time finding reasons to complain rather than to be thankful? Is your pessimism beyond realistic and sometimes spirals into unbelief that God can bring real healing and joy into your life? Are you quick to dive into sadness when something doesn't go your way rather than see the joy that is set before you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, set your eyes upon Jesus. When you set your eyes upon Jesus, when you think about the lengths to which He was willing to go to save you, dying on the cross, suffering the eternal wrath of God against your sin, so that you would enjoy all the blessed promises of God. Think about these. Being adopted into the family of God. Set free from the curse of sin. Set free from the bondage of sin. So that we can already now walk in the Spirit. In the newness of life which Christ has purchased for us. That we are united to Christ personally by the Holy Spirit. Ushered by Christ into the very throne room of God. That we are engrafted into the body of Christ. So that we are all one in perfect unity in Him. That every single thing in our lives, the Heavenly Father has perfectly planned and providentially watches over us so that everything is for the maximum good for us and for all of God's people all the time. And of course that we are all granted eternal life with God, that this body will be raised from the dead, and that we will reach the truly heavenly promised land of rest. That's the short list. When you reflect just for a moment upon that, I hope at least you can crack a smile. And if not, laugh. This is how good we have it. And not because we're so great. Not because we're so good. But this is how good we have it simply because God is that loving. And He is that gracious. What else can we do but laugh with a laugh of faith in amazement that God would do that for me? That God would do that for you? This is how blessed I am. This is how loved I am by my triune God. It's amazing. It is too wonderful for me to take it in. Paul, at the end of his exposition of the gospel of grace in Romans, at the end of his doctrinal dissertation, if you will, at the end, he breaks forth in song as he so often does at the end of these. And in Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid Him, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." For as we think about the birth of Isaac, we are reminded of the birth of our Savior and all the joy that He brings to us because of what He did. And so we have true and lasting joy because of, by Christ, of course, we are born again. And nothing can change that. I want us to see now, it's not only us who is filled with joy. It is not only us who should laugh. But I want us to see that the entire kingdom of God is filled with laughter. For as Jesus says at the end of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, Jesus says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Or also at the end of the parable of the lost coin, Jesus says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Even the angels are rejoicing. And then, so beautifully, the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Brothers and sisters, if the Lord, if all the heavenly hosts and all the saints before us are rejoicing over us and what the Lord has done for us, would we be so blind as to not see the salvation of Jesus and rejoice? This story of Isaac reminds us that with sin there is only weeping and gnashing of teeth. But because of Christ, For us and those who are in Him, there is only rejoicing and laughing all around. So that even in the face of death, we can have joy. And even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can rejoice in victory over death. Oh, death, where is your sting? The Lord is laughing. The angels are laughing. The saints in heaven are laughing. Wouldn't we want to join them? Laughing because of the joy that we have in the sure promises of God. While Isaac brings great joy to Abraham and Sarah, let us again remember that this story points us forward to the ultimate culmination of all the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And that Christ brings to all who are His joy-filled laughter. Throughout the whole world and for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know how quickly we forget You. You know how quickly the things of this life consume our hearts and minds, how we like Peter, when You, Lord Jesus, called him to walk on the water, we look at the wind and waves around us and we quickly lose trust in You. We doubt and we sink. But we thank You, Lord, even in those times that You, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, reach out Your hand and grasp us and encourage us to trust. To see Your faithfulness all around us. And we pray, Lord, that as we think upon the glorious promises that are ours in Jesus Christ, as we think upon His first coming and all that He did for us, and as we eagerly await His second coming, may You so fill us with the joy that we have in Christ that we cannot contain it. But we can only join with Abraham and Sarah, join with all the saints that have gone before us, join with all the angels and heavenly hosts, and join with You, our Lord Jesus Christ, in laughter, in celebration, in true joy and happiness over what You have accomplished for us. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to always be filled with it. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.